T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think anytime you can have your players out there collectively working together, that helps, whether that be with the offensive line or the receiver group. You know, hopefully that everybody will be ready to go here as we get practicing tomorrow, and it's good for everybody.
That is Bill's offensive coordinator. I wasn't even paying attention, but that's Brian Daboll. And I was listening to the Zoom call yesterday, too. You'd think I'd actually remember that. If you missed the Zoom calls yesterday, you want to hear what Sean McDermott had to say. Brian Daboll spoke to the media. Leslie Frazier spoke to the media as well. We have all those available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. And that is brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. And we'll also be talking about those with Sal when he joins us an hour from now on the show. All right, 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550, and we'll, of course, be talking Bills football with you. If there's anything else you want to get into, we were talking a little bit about Brady last night in the Monday Night Football game. If there's anything else you want to bring up on the show, you can always change the topic and join us at any point. And there you go, Bob's your uncle. Okay, go ahead.
Bob's your uncle. I'm looking at the forecast for Sunday. I'm going to be tracking this, you know, every day because I just really want it to be nice out. I really want the Bills' offense to be able to do what it can do, even if that means the Chargers can as well. And right now we're looking at minimal wind, gusts, not too bad, rain, nothing, and temps looking like 30s and 40s. So okay. A good fall, late November Bills game, Bills-Chargers. No reason not to be able to throw the ball all over the place. And maybe we'll get a shootout. Maybe we'll get, you know, one of those over-under game. I haven't checked the over-under.
I'll
look at that right now to find
Bills
out.
Bills were favored by five points in this game?
Yep.
Okay.
Which I think might be a bit of a big number just because as we went over the Chargers and what they've done this year, they play really tight games. You know, and the games are frequently close. The over-under is 54.5, which wasn't that the number for the Seattle game? It started
sounds
at 51.
About, yeah, it
got
about
all the
right.
way to about
54, 55.
About 55, yeah.
Yeah, that
sounds
about right.
So points in a big way, is there another game on the board that I can see that has a higher number right now? And, yes, Raiders-Falcons is 55.5. There are a couple of games that I can't quite see, like Ravens-Steelers, because they don't know who's going to play. But anyway, you know, thinking about this game and about this, the offense, it's another one of these games where I'm going to want a ton of points. And as well as the Bills' offense played against Seattle, might have been their best day, you could make a case that the Cardinal game, not that it was their worst day, but it wasn't a great day. You know, five straight drives without any points is a really bad stretch in any game. And they were doing well. They had 23 points. It's 23-9. The reason that game gets back within reach is because they go five straight drives without any points. So I almost want the offense to have a bounce back here, you know, even though they did score 30 in Arizona.
Yeah, it is. How about they score 30 in Arizona, even though they hit a deep freeze for five drives in the second half, which just goes to, I mean, the explosiveness of the offense is impressive. I would think in this game, I think if you really want to boil it down and make it a really simple analysis of this game, whose offense is better Sunday? It's very simple. I think the offense is the strength of both teams again. This does have a little bit of Seattle to it from that standpoint.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because Seattle's defense is terrible.
Yeah, well, now the Chargers, I don't know if the Chargers' defense is that bad, but there's no question both of these teams lean on their passing game, on their quarterbacks and their passing game. The strength of the Chargers is Justin Herbert. And then it's Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Hunter Henry, right? So their passing game is definitely their strength. So I think, honestly, we'll come down to whose offense is going to have the better day here. Now, you look at their defense, and we had a guy on from L.A. yesterday from KNX Radio, and we were talking about their defense. And go look at the stats. I mean, for Bosa and Ingram, now granted, it was Nathan Peterman, but if you remember that game, that thing was ugly. And I'm worried here Sunday, like, are they going to have a problem dealing with those two edge rushers? Ingram's got half a sack this year in, I think, like 9 games. Bosa's got 4.5. And the young linebacker from USC, if I don't butcher his name, Nwosu, he's out, and he's a good pass rusher. They're secondary. Their most experienced solid cornerback is Casey Hayward, and he's having a really bad season for some reason. He's been really, really struggling. So maybe not Seattle bad, but their defense has been giving up points. Heck, they gave up 28 to the Jets and Joe Flacco. That's the worst offense in the league. So I would think, Jeremy, that it does bode well. This matchup does bode well for Josh Allen and the Bills offense. As you said, you want to call it a bounce back game. They should be able to do that. It doesn't appear their pass rush is as imposing as it can be. They've had, one of their linebackers, there's an injury to check. Their leading tackler, I think, missed the last game. We'll have to check that when they get back to practice. And their secondary at the cornerback position, they've been having some issues covering guys. So I would think, and you said the weather looks good.
Yeah, good.
Unless the Bills decide to say, you know, we really need to establish the run, so let's go run heavy. I don't think this is going to be a New England game plan with crazy winds, and they're not going to pass it as much. They're going to try and run it as much as humanly possible. I would assume they go back to the air, and they have a good matchup to do that against the Chargers, because I'm not sure how their guys are going to cover Diggs and Brown and Beasley. You know, Beasley is having a phenomenal season. I mean, we know what Diggs is doing. I wish I saw a stat. I don't know, maybe Beasley is leading slot receivers. He's got like either the best or the second highest catch percentage among slot receivers. I don't know how they're covering all three guys on Sunday. Josh should have a good day, especially when you don't necessarily have to worry, hopefully, that Bosa and Ingram will destroy your offensive line.
Alan texts in, is this the coldest game the Chargers have played in that could impact them? I looked over their schedule. They did play in Denver 3 weeks ago. And November temps in Denver are, you know,
can be chilly. Yeah,
30s
right?
to 50s. Yeah. They'd play in Denver every year. They'd also play in Kansas City every year. And they'll play in Kansas City in January in their last game of the season. Huh. So they also they host New England. So the Chargers have about 3 cold weather games. And, I mean, Justin Herbert played in Oregon, right?
Yes.
So it's not exactly like, you know, cold weather when it gets to be super cold can be a problem. But 35 degrees, no wind, no precipitation. I wouldn't expect it to be a factor, which is actually what I want. I don't want weather to be a factor for these games because, you know, which game was it? The Patriots game, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
They ran it because New England is playing that kind of defensive front where you were encouraging the Bills to run it.
Yep.
I just hope they don't run into any super bad weather games unless you're playing the Chiefs because – right, what you want weather to do is to bring the better team back to you.
Right.
And that's what it does in almost every scenario is it brings the better team back towards the inferior team. And if I'm an underdog going in to play Kansas City, well, then I would love that game to be windy and cold. So Patrick Mahomes might be a little more limited than he normally is.
Yeah.
But for this game, I mean, I as the favorite, I like my chances. I think I have better – do I have better weapons? Probably, yes. I mean, Keenan Allen is great, right?
Yep.
But I've – better weapons up and down?
I think the Bills are deeper. Better, deeper, right? I mean, you can have the discussion on Diggs and Allen because Allen is great. But as you go to the second and third and fourth and maybe fifth options in your passing game, they have a very good top three options, right? With Hunter Henry and Mike Williams.
They definitely
Williams
have a better
Keenan
tight
Allen.
End,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the Bills also have, so theirs is Allen and Williams, and then I'm trying to remember who their third receiver option is. I can't for the it's not in my brain right now.
Not Mike Williams?
No, well, he's their number two receiver.
Oh, sorry.
Who's three? I mean, and the Bills have Diggs, Brown, and Beasley. So their edge goes to tight end, but I think the Bills have a deeper receiving core, and then, you know, McKenzie or whatever else you're trying to
Jalen Guyton is their third wide receiver.
So I think the Bills would have
Joe
the
Reed,
deeper receiver core.
KJ Hill.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the running game, it could be a wash. You know, I don't know if Eckler's playing. There was some speculation he would come back. Yesterday, Anthony Lynn said basically when he's back, you'll know he's back. So I don't know if he's playing this Sunday, which means it's a combination of different guys they've been using, but it's not like they've had a really good running game going. So I would think the Bills have a slight, at the very least, a slight edge. Their offensive line's been banged up a little bit. So, you know, maybe the Bills, who've done a better job in recent weeks of generating some pressure, their sack totals have gone up. You know, maybe the Bills can get something going against what has been a banged-up Chargers offensive line on Sunday. But I would think it's going to come down to Allen versus Herbert, essentially, and which offense is going to put up more points. And, you know, for whatever it's worth, you mentioned the Chargers do play close games. Now, for them, unfortunately, they usually lose close games, but they're in it. I mean, they've had leads on some really good – they led Kansas City going into the fourth quarter. And they got tied, and they lost that game in overtime. So they've played some of the better teams on their schedule. So they led the Chiefs, they led the Bucks, they led the Saints, and they led the Chiefs by 11, the Saints by 17, and the Buccaneers by 17.
Wow!
And they lost all those games.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So they've had blown leads early. They led Denver by 21. And lost. They led Tampa.
So this is where, if the Bills get down, we all have to kind of admit to each other, okay, everybody, remember, this is how it
looks.
Fourth quarter. This is how is what it's supposed to look like.
They've had four losses in games where they led by more than 10 points, and in all those, I believe they led going into the fourth quarter, Jeremy. I know they did against the Chiefs.
It makes you wonder about, if there's one thing to wonder about with Justin Herbert, he's been great. He's got huge numbers.
Yep.
What do they change that makes it so they can't hold those leads? Do they start running the ball where they didn't before?
Oh, boy. But then you're going away from your
conservative.
Yeah, then you're going away from your strength.
You get a 21-point lead, like, you know, we like to point out, you can't give that up unless your offense is part of it.
Yeah.
So does their offense go to sleep for stretches because they get conservative, because Anthony Lynn doesn't want to continue to air it out? It'll be interesting to see if that's what they do, because – man, if you're putting up the numbers that Justin Herbert's putting up, and if you're building a 21-point lead, are they like the Bills? They have bad third quarters? Is that what this is?
Yeah.
I mean, they have some sort of just period in a game where adjustments are an issue. It's very interesting to me that you give up that many. Justin Herbert averages 300 yards per game.
Without looking
as a rookie.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I don't – without actually going into their game books and looking and see what the trends are, they're – keep in mind, well, a couple things I think are playing in. In addition to the games they've lost, look what happened Sunday against the Jets. They were leading by 18 points. Jets come back in it. They chip back in the second half. 2-3 minutes left. What happens? The Jets actually have the ball with a drive to tie the game or go in front. And they don't. They turn it over on downs. One of their other wins was Jacksonville. They led that game by 16 points. They blew it, but they eventually won. So I don't know if Anthony Lynn is going, I build a 14 or 20-point lead or whatever, I take the ball a little bit out of Justin Herbert's hands, or, you know, maybe the shortcomings in their defense catch up. If teams – what are other teams now just throwing the ball and their pass defense is so bad, they're not getting a great pass rush that allows teams back in the game? They also have had a lot of special team screw-ups, block punts. They've had, a number of issues on that. That might allow teams back in the games too.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure because I don't do a deep enough dive into the Chargers, but it's amazing that this is not even a trend. This is almost an every week occurrence with Chargers football. They can get a lead because their offense is really good, and then for whatever reason, it falls apart in the second half.
I'm eager to see the uniform matchup here, right? Bills Chargers. I mean, the Bills could. Well, what could the Chargers wear? They've got some,
I like their
some
powder.
Beauties.
They're powder blue uniforms. I don't know. Yeah, they've got, of course, they changed their unis this year.
They usually wear those at home, though.
Not on the road. Yeah, right.
Either way, could be a nice uniform matchup. Last night's uniform matchup was an interesting one.
I don't like those Bucks uniforms.
You don't like the Bucks?
Okay. I think they're hideous.
The pewter, the mostly pewter.
Can't stand it.
Not as hideous as the Rams.
The bone. Pewter and bone.
No, the Bucks uniforms are worse than the Rams.
No way.
Pewter and bone was the name of my high school band.
Pewter and bone. Bone?
Bone. We were pewter awesome. Bone? We had a good.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard your bassist was good. Yeah.
Right. We called him Bonesy.
Did you like the Bucks unis?
I like as many uniforms as possible. I mean, you know me. I can't necessarily mock a team for having a bad uniform because they get a new one, because I'm so committed to getting all different arrays of uniforms. I want as many uniforms as possible. I don't mind the Rams bone uniforms. I don't mind those Bucks uniforms too much. They're still better than the alarm clock numbers, right? I mean, seriously, they're better. I don't necessarily love them, but I'm not mad about them. And same with the Rams. The Rams bone-colored uniforms that are just that shade of off-white, the kind that, you know, you're in the paint aisle and you're looking at all the swatches and you're thinking, like, there's a million whites, off-white, fluorescent white, frost white. It's bone-colored. I'm okay with it. It doesn't jump out at me. I love the Rams helmets. I think the Rams helmets look great.
Yeah. I know when the Rams unis, when they unveiled their unis, I didn't like them. I thought the Chargers did a much better job on the new unis than the Rams did. But I just thought the color of the Bucs uniforms was just so bad. I'd rather see the old orange creamsicle uniforms before I want to see those things they wore last night. And solid, too. Not just the jersey, right? It's the jersey and the pants, like the all, that all pewter, that all.
Pewter.
I just did not like that at all.
Spence writes in, standing Buffalo this Sunday. I'm not sure if he knows that or if he just thinks that. I wondered that, though, right? The old, like,
old
AFL kind of.
AFL,
yeah. Maybe. Standing Buffalo would be a good idea.
I think there were a couple of guys that were on Instagram from the team that were kind of showing off the helmet. And that was
usually
during the bye week last week.
Oh, then I was going to say, usually in like maybe by middle of the week, somebody from the equipment staff tweets out what they're wearing, I think.
They usually tweet it out on Wednesday, tomorrow, so we'll probably know for sure by that. We could know for sure today because Sal will be at practice and he'll probably tweet out the pictures and they'll probably be wearing that Standing Buffalo decal.
Trent writes in, tweets in a picture, according to Gridiron Uniforms, the Chargers are wearing their navy blue.
Those are nice too. I like
navy
those.
Navy blue,
yeah,
white
like
helmets
yep.
With the blue lightning bolts and the numbers on the side of the helmets for the Chargers for those.
That's a good look too.
If it's Standing Buffalo against navy blue Chargers, that sounds like a good uniform
matchup. You're in for that? Okay.
Yeah. Why not?
Let me get to Jeff in Buffalo here on WGR. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up, with the bye week and, some of the articles that are being written about how they're trying to tighten up this defensive, the run defense and so on and so forth. Everybody's looking for a high-scoring game, but, I'm sort of hoping that to see a game where, Buffalo only yields maybe 13, 17 points to these Chargers and does a number on offense. But, going forward, just to see out of the bye week, everybody being fresh, hopefully a healthier lineup, the defense shows a little better. How you guys feel about that going forward is, that's my comment.
Okay, sure.
I think it'd be nice to
appreciate the call.
To get a little bit more out of your defense for sure. I would take 20. I mean, 20 would be a good day for me. The point total they've put up, 31, 27, 39, 30, 26, 21, 34. I mean, it's not – I don't want to say they're like the Chiefs, but if you get them at 24, you should feel good.
I think – it's who you're playing, Jeff. Thanks for the call. If you look at the Bills – I just pulled up the Bills' schedule. So they've held one opponent, two games, under 20 points this year, all year. The defense,
Jets.
Right. The Jets, who are the worst offense in the league.
And the Jets put up 28 against
and they
those
just
Chargers.
Scored right? Yeah. So you should be able. So the worst offense in the league is the only opponent the Bills have held under 21 points. The Jets had 17 in week one, and the Jets had 10 in the second matchup. Everybody else has 21 or more. New England's at 21, and then you go from there. So I think the defense is what it is. I don't expect an all of a sudden a different looking unit coming out of the bye that is now going to be able to shut teams down offensively. Again, especially a very good passing attack like the Chargers. So I would expect, they're not going to hold them under 20. I don't think this Bills defense is good enough to do that on a regular basis.
Herbert really had one bad game.
Yeah, Miami.
That was against Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, his totals are 311, 330, 290, 264 with four touchdowns against the Saints. And, there's some good defenses in here if you want to talk about Tampa. 290 and three touchdowns against Tampa, 20 of 25. So it's if they can have the kind of game Miami had, then sure. I mean, I think I'm with the caller. Like, we'd all like to see a little bit more from the defense. The question is how much is reasonable to expect? Like, what kind of fixes do they have? I guess we'll see over the next couple of weeks, but It's a tough test right off the bat to stop this team.
Yeah, I mean, again, you look at their scores, Jeremy, you brought it up. So the game against the Dolphins, which everybody will agree, he looked confused. Maybe, I don't know if he said, I saw ghosts like Sam Darnold against New England, but they threw a lot of stuff at him, and he admittedly, even his teammates were saying, yeah, we had no idea what they were doing. They scored 21, all right? So that's the worst game of the year for Justin Herbert, 21 points, you know? 26 against the Raiders, Denver, which, you know, has a good defense. I wouldn't say it's great, but it's good enough. They put up 30 against Denver. They put up 27 in a loss to the Saints. They put up 31 in a loss to the Bucs. So they've been very good in terms of scoring. They just can't stop teams. I would expect this game is going to play out. I would assume you're going to see a, I don't know, maybe it's, you know, like a 34-31 or 31-28. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I would expect it is going to be a one-possession game, and you're going to be on the edge of your seat in the fourth quarter because that's how their offense is good enough to do that, and the Bills' defense, I don't think, is good enough to prevent it this Sunday. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. Speaking of the football team, have you sent us your story this week? We're looking for your favorite fan moments. We need you to tell us why you are the biggest Bills fan out there. And it might mean you win a really cool prize. It's a part of our M&T Bills fan contest this season. We're doing it every week. You send us your story, tweet us at WGR550. Tell us why you're the Bills' biggest fan. When you tweet us, please use the hashtag community of Bills fans and you're in the running. We'll pick one winner each week. That person gets a $50 gift card to the Bills team store. You're featured on game day here on WGR and you're in the running for the grand prize at the end of the season, which is about $2,300 worth of really cool stuff to have the ultimate Bills game day experience in your home. Again, tweet us at WGR550. Use the hashtag community of Bills fans. You'll find all the details at WGR550.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
My time has come. to let the Undertaker rest in peace.
I mean, right up there with the Lou Gehrig speech.
Huh? Oh, you're being serious. I'm sorry. Okay.
So the Undertaker retired on Survivor Series?
Is that right? So you're, yeah. I didn't watch. Sorry.
You know, of all
Undertaker
the things,
was in that area of me after my initial wrestling fandom and before my return to wrestling fandom. So I never really saw Undertaker until, you know, he came back recently.
Well, apparently
he was in your
retired
prime, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around for 30 years. He's been forever. I saw that video last night. I feel like, I mean, this is where wrestling fans can correct me or give me the info. He's retired like 10 times.
Is that right? He just keeps retiring? I got to tell you, as I said, I didn't watch him in his prime, Jeremy, but his intros are phenomenal.
I mean, his prime lasted 2 decades.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
If not more. I mean, yeah.
I love his intros and what they do. I mean, again, with fans in the stands and the show where they put together and the music and the lighting and how he comes out and all. I just thought it's
But
it's
this
cool.
is the thing. If you think that guy actually retired.
No.
I mean, come on.
You mean he's going to come back
again?
You're telling me
that The Undertaker retired in front of no fans?
Yeah.
He won't wait. He won't come back at the next WrestleMania that does have fans and then body slam. He'll just choke slam somebody. Sorry, that's Kane. He'll bust out the tombstone. Come on.
Yeah. Well.
He's retired a million times.
He did retire in front of fans. It was virtual fans.
Oh, please.
So
he
retired in front of monitors. Is that?
Give me a gambling site that allows me to bet that The Undertaker comes back at a WrestleMania.
How old's the guy? He's got to be like old,
He's
right?
He's very old.
I worry about some of these guys that come back, like him and some of these older guys. I'm like, man, they're going to get hurt, you know?
He's 55.
Oh, that's okay. I actually thought he was over 60.
Mark Calloway. He's 55.
Okay. Go back and watch. This is my equivalent of when we talk about draft picks. Go watch that game against Oregon State. This kid was – go back and watch. Oh, what would it have been? One of the many pay-per-view events. I don't know if it was WrestleMania. Shoot. Someone tweet me who are out there in wrestling fans. When he had like the graveyard match against AJ Styles, they actually filmed it in – like they went out. It was not in an arena or anything. They went out in – someplace. I have no idea.
Match, yeah.
He drives up in the car and there's farm equipment involved and they're tearing apart like some kind of building. And then there's a grave that's dug and AJ's trying to throw Undertaker in the grave and put dirt
and
on
the
him.
Hand
and then
comes out of the, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
I've seen
oh
the
yeah.
GIF.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Ryan Hasnauer, with TV Downs, he just tweeted us that The Undertaker has not retired before. He's never formally retired. He's been called upon to retire for a series of very bad matches. I'm just telling you, there's no way he doesn't come out again in front of fans when the time is right. So that's all I want to say.
Oh, graveyard match was WrestleMania this year. Okay, thank you, Ryan. It
Your
went on for like 30 minutes. Yeah.
You got time for a stat of the day on the Bills?
Yeah, I have a stat of the day on the Chargers, too, so go ahead.
Oh, good.
Stat of the day.
Stats of the day.
Brought to you by Skyworks, the official equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills.
So... listener Bub in Kansas, who's with us every morning, he texted the show and said, "What's Sean McDermott's level record after the bye? Like, what is he coming out of the bye?"
Do you see Andy Reid's record out of the bye?
He's amazing out of the bye.
19-3.
Well, I mean, McDermott goes to the Andy Reid school.
Yeah.
So, what's his record out of the bye? 3 years.
3-0.
Now, here's the fun little stat of the day for
Very
you.
Good. I like that.
The three teams he's beaten.
Yeah.
Out of the bye. Here's your hint. They're all from the same state, and it's three different teams.
They wouldn't have played. They did play Tampa, right? Miami, Tampa, Jacksonville? No.
Bingo.
It is?
Yep.
I'm trying to remember.
3-0.
Okay, the Tampa game would have been here.
Against Florida teams out of the bye.
Was the Jacksonville game the Fournette crazy game then, right? Was that the Fournette-Shaq Lawson game?
I think so.
I mean, is that the only time they played Jacksonville?
Right, that's the only time he would have played Jacksonville in 3 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, instead of the playoff game.
Yeah. And the Tampa game was here, right? Wasn't that the, was there a fumble? There was a fumble, big fumble.
Yep,
recovery
that's
that game.
A late
maybe?
Fumble.
Trey White, yep.
Trey White,
a late fumble, Trey White. Miami would have been last year to go to 5-1.
Gotcha. Okay. That's good. 3-0. That's good. Keep rolling.
Last year they beat Miami to go to 5-1. What did Allen have a monster
was
day that
which,
day?
That would have been
home 31-21.
Oh, that was the Trey White pick. Interception yeah. against Fitz.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a sweat.
So 3-0 against teams coming off the bye, or when the Bills are coming off the bye. 3-0, looking to go 4-0 this week.
They had a note too the other night. They were showing the Andy Reid note when they were playing the Raiders, and they won that game. So I think they were 18-3, which makes them 19-3. They had a note about how for the Raiders, it was the third straight year that they played Kansas City with the Chiefs coming off of their bye. I would have been livid at that stat if I were them. I mean, I don't know if the computer actually takes that into account, but you know, right? People always complain every year. It seemed like the Bills would play the Patriots coming off the Patriots bye. That's a big division rival, a big game, and you get them after their bye every year. That sucks. Here's your quick stat on the Chargers. Jeremy, you mentioned they play close games. Did you know the Chargers in this season they have played 10 games, 9 have been one-score games, and they are 2-7. And if you go back to week 2 of last season, the Chargers are 3-16 in one-score games. They play close games. They lose close games. And in a number of those, they have leads in the second half and lose the one-score game. So there's your stat of the day on the Chargers. Sal's at the top of the hour. We're going to talk some UB football in a moment. Huge game for the Bulls Saturday to probably decide the MAC East division. We're going to check in with Lance Leipold, next, WGR.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, big football game Saturday. And, you know, we were talking about the Bills-Chargers game. Could be a high-scoring affair on Sunday. Might have nothing on what could take place Saturday at UB Stadium. The 3-0 Bulls, who average over 44 points a game, playing 3-0 Kent State, who average over 50 points a game. And we are joined on our Western Hotline right now by, it is a noon game Saturday on ESPN 1520, by the way, Lance Leipold, UB Bulls coach, joining us right now. Lance, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
I am good. So listen, first team to 100 wins on Saturday?
I mean, it could be one of those days. They're a very explosive offense, play really fast. Coach Sean Lewis has done an excellent job there. He's under the Dino Babers tree. They're at Bowling Green together and then at Syracuse. And they're going to try to get – they're definitely going to try to get 100 plays, Howard, that's for sure, and going fast. And we're going to have to play our best football.
But you guys, you know, you have a very explosive offense too. You've topped 40 points in all three of your games. Would you be comfortable in the quote-unquote track meet?
Well, you'd have to be, and I think that's one of the things we've always tried to say is that, we talk to our defense if we're struggling offensively as a team, and if we only can put 3 on the board, we gotta pitch a shutout, and then offensively, if we're not slowing them down, and they're going to be in their 50 point range, we gotta find a way to score one more than they do. So, I think that's the flexibility of our offense, and I think our second game of the year against Miami, I think we really got to show some of the weapons that we had here at home and some of the guys we can get involved, and I think we're going to need everybody involved to have a chance to win on Saturday.
I think one of the nice things about your offense, Lance, is you brought up the Miami game, and you were really – Kyle Van Trees had a big game, and you made a number of explosive plays with your passing game, and then you look at your last game and didn't really need to use Van Trees as much. It was your running game just pummeled those guys. It looks like you do have that ability to do whatever is needed, whether it's passing or running.
Yeah, that's always the goal. I think everybody wants the ball in your hands, and we want balance. I think that's something we really want to get to. And in that game, it wasn't. And when we did throw the ball, in about the last year and a half, it's mainly been geared towards Antonio Nunn, and rightfully so at sometimes. But we have other weapons, and Zach LaFave at tight end. Trevor Wilson, a couple other guys on the outside. Giovanni Ruiz is another guy that has played well. So once you start doing that as well as the two running backs that have played extremely well, then it puts more pressure on defenses, and hopefully we'll be able to keep mixing it up.
You know, the running backs, and I don't mean this as a slight to Kevin Marks, because you know what? Kevin Marks has had a hell of a UB career. But, man, Jarrett Patterson, Lance, is just putting up eye-popping numbers with how quickly he got to 3,000-plus career yards. Why has he been such a dominant runner?
Well, again, you bring up, and one of the reasons is Kevin, I think, a little bit. And Kevin's played really well. He played well at home. And I think they complement each other so well in different running styles. I think, of course, you have to give credit to offensive lines and that. But when it comes to Jared personally, I think it's vision, it's patience, and he's got the ability to make people miss. And a lot of times people don't understand, there's going to be free defenders every play. And your goal always is to make those guys the furthest away from the ball as possible. But there's going to be times that a safety is going to, if he comes down fast enough, he's going to be in the hole and he's going to have those things. And Jared has just an uncanny way of making people miss in space, and yet he has great balance and very good speed to create big plays with it. And I think that's a heck of a combination for somebody, and he continues to show it. His dedication, his work ethic off the field, taking care of himself, all those things allow him the chance to be successful and to play well for four quarters.
If you and I think one of the things that's nice, coaches every now and then will talk about being able to run successfully, even though, and do it when the other team knows you're going to do it, and you guys are able to do that. How much of that is those two backs? How much of that is, I guess it works in concert with the offensive line, right, Lance? They know it's coming, and yet you're still able to, they can't stop you.
Right. Football's changed enough where you just can't line it up every time and say, here we come. But at the same time, I think the combination of what we're going to do in our inside-outside zone scheme, I think the play action off of it, and that's why we keep saying about being balanced is, yeah, pretty soon those safeties that maybe might be 8 to 12 yards are 6 to 8 yards away sometimes, and you got to be real, careful. But the balance, and our linemen have taken great pride. We lost three senior linemen from last year's team and have been able to plug in some guys that have played really well. I think the other part of this is if you watch us is the play of the tight ends and Zach LaFave, Jake Mullinich, motion shifting, creating gaps and making teams be sound. And as I said earlier, when you have backs that are powerful, but at the same time Jarrett makes you miss in space, you really put a lot of stress on a defense.
Well, Kent State puts a lot of stress on opposing defenses. So let me ask you about your defense, because early on, they've dealt with a lot of adversity, right? You've had a little bit of a rash of injuries, I think, a lot in the secondary, right?
Yeah, we've been pretty banged up on there. We've had some young guys that have, I say young and experienced, step up and play well. Roy Baker's is actually a senior, but he hadn't started a game in his career and has played well at one corner. And Isaiah King and is a redshirt junior, as well as true freshman Logic Hudgens has been playing there. The two slated starting corners were Ali Abbas and Apri Washington. They I think Ali's played about 9 plays all year in 2 games, and Apri is yet to play. We are out all-conference safety Tyrone Hill was out last week, questionable again for this week. So, and a couple guys in the defensive line. So what was a very good defense last year has had to also rely on some backups. And when you have a team that's going to spread you out, play fast, they throw the ball really well, probably have the best quarterback in the conference, and he was the National Player of the Week last week by the National Football Foundation. So a lot of things that we've got to play well and play well together and try to get them in predictable down and distances and try to get off the field and control the ball.
Final thing for you, Lance, on your defense. I want to ask you a little bit about Malcolm Kuntz. I saw this week he's been given an invitation to participate in the Senior Bowl, and he has become a pass rushing beast for you guys last season and again this season. How can you talk a little bit about how his game has grown and how he's gotten himself to the point where he's getting a look from the folks at the Senior Bowl?
Well, he's been a very steady player in our program. He's got a great personality and great energy. He's got he's got the height, the length, but he can bend the corner and get around for a guy his size as good as anybody. And the thing is, through his career, you have a Damone Harris, right here from Buffalo, playing with the Chiefs, Ladarius Mack, on the practice squad with the Bears. Chuck Harris had a little time on practice squads and was active for a couple games in Jacksonville last year. We've had a good run of defensive ends in this program, and Malcolm was just kind of rotating with them. He and Taylor Riggins really took a big step last year as well, and Malcolm's gotten off to a great start. He's playing well. He's practicing hard, and you know, he made the Reese's Senior Bowl 250, which kind of gets you in the nomination game, but his invitation came about a week or so ago, and we were able to present it to him, and he's pretty excited, and it's well-deserving.
Well, good luck Saturday. I think it'll be a whale of a game, and continued success with how the season is going.
Well, I appreciate it, Howard, and I hope you know, appreciate the opportunity for you and Jeremy to have me on. Thank you.
Have a good Thanksgiving, Lance. Thanks.
You as well.
Thank you. Lance Leipold joining us here again. It's Saturday at noon, the first Saturday afternoon game of the season for the Bulls. 3-0 against 3-0. Remember, they're only playing six games, so this will probably decide the East title. No fans. So you can't go to the game. It's on ESPN 1520, or you can watch it on CBS Sports Network. If you haven't seen the Bulls play, they're a fun offense to watch. And the quarterback for Kent State that Lance was talking about, Dustin Crum, they're averaging 52 points a game. This guy is a dual threat, and it is an explosive offense. I really think it'll be a great game to watch.
UB's had some viewers at the drive-in in their first
games. Right, on Transit Road.
Transit.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I've got a story for you in the next hour about the Milwaukee Bucks and like some of the future of that as a potential way to get around social distancing. This one is very, very elaborate. So we'll get to that. We got Sal coming up next. So next hour at some point, I'll tell you all about that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.